And by so,
doing, we interact with himself. We enter into sweet fellowship. We enter into communion by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, with our Father, and with the Lord and our Master and our King, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you that once again we have this wonderful opportunity where we get to partake, to eat of the bread, to eat of that which is life, that the light begins to shine in our path, that we are delivered from the things that destroy, and we are made to walk in that which is life. We give you praise and we give you honor. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Well, are you glad to be privileged to have this interaction?
Yeah.
It's an interaction with the Lord himself. It's an interaction with the Father. It's an interaction with the Holy Spirit. It's an interaction with the Word. It's an interaction with that which is life. It's an interaction that brings deliverance. It's the interaction that fortifies or strengthens the foundation upon which you stand, so that you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind, by the emotions and the excursions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So we began to, okay, wonderful. We began to talk about the 10 things that are not the same as being born again. And we're going to continue with part two. So another 10 things that we will have 20 things altogether. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you remember what we did, what we shared, what we learned last week? Do you all remember?
Yep.
So if there is no background noise where you are, don't mute yourself, okay? Mm-hmm. So that I can feel you. I want to feel you. Is that okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. I don't hear some other people's voices. Hallelujah. I know Eric is a place where there may be noise, but all of you who don't have any noise background, please make sure you're not muted so that they can hear you. Now, let's read the scriptures. John chapter 3 from verse 1. We're all going to read the scripture. We're all going to read it together. John chapter 3. So, Chris, show us the scriptures. John, from John chapter 3 from verse 1. We're going to read all the way to probably verse 16 or 17. Let's read it quickly. It's good to read the Word of God. It's good to read it aloud to your own hearing. Mm-hmm. It's a very good practice.
Amen.
John chapter 3. John 3 from verse 1. John 3 from verse 1. Ready? Go. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are you a member of the church and knowest not these things? Verse 11.
Verily,
I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Verse 12. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13. Go, quickly. Ready, go. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So as he was talking, he was in heaven. It's a spiritual affair. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's a colon, and the verse 15 says,
whosoever
believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Pause for just 1 second. He's saying, just as Moses lifted up the serpent upon that mountain, you know, when he lifted it up, that bronze serpent, as he lifted it up, anyone who will look at it, meaning that anyone who does not look at it will not be healed. Likewise, anyone who will behold the Son and believe that he is his life, he is his salvation, he is his redemption, he is everything that is life. Apart from him, I have no life. Therefore, I give my all. I lift my hands. I surrender my will. I surrender my opinion. And behold him who is life. He says that you will not perish. Your household will not perish. Your marriage will not end in divorce. Sickness will not rid your life and cut your life short. You will not become something else. No, you will not perish. You will live his life here. And then when you die, you will be taken up by angels to where you belong. You will not perish. Amen. Perishing shall forever be removed from you.
Amen.
You will not perish only because you behold the King. Only because you surrender your will to the King. Only because you surrender your opinions to the King. Only because every other voice that communicates to you, you are the one who silences. You silence every voice and say, no, it's the voice of the one, the Son, who hung upon the tree, who rose from the dead, and who has become my life. His voice alone is what rules in this house. His voice alone is what rules in this body. His voice alone is what rules in this being. I have no right to my dead life anymore. It is the Son who lives in me.
Amen.
Say that you will not perish. Any other way, any otherwise you perish. Otherwise you perish. It's so important. So that if you are worrying about anything, if you worry about anything, it's because your opinion is so important to you. Because the one who you call Lord, he's not worrying. He's not worrying. You see, if your boss who you work for is worrying about something and he tells you, then you have cause to worry. This is your Lord who is your life. He is not worried. He's not trying to figure out what he will do to sustain you, to establish you, to make you walk in light, to make you have life. He is not trying to do it. He knows it. He knows exactly what he will do. He knows exactly what is required for tomorrow. He knows the things that must be removed from the way for you to keep walking the light. Now, if you take it over, then you must worry because you will not know. If you take over that role, then you will find out that whatever money you have in the bank account is not going to suffice. Mm-hmm. Then you will find out that your car, which you think is going to work, you will find out that somebody who does not respect any law will run, will finish you. You in your car. And you say, have insurance, fine. But what about your being? The whiplash that you can receive. Let your insurance go and take care of it. You become vegetable. See, all these things that we can't control, we surrender, we yield, and say, listen, I'm going forth. And the one who is my life goeth with me. He has not left me. He is with me because I surrender to him, and he is my life. And he says, I will never leave you. No man shall be able to pluck you out of my hands. That's what your master says. Yeah. And no man shall be able to take him out of my father's hands. He is making it double, triple sure. Not only shall anyone, any power, any entity be able to take you out of my hands, which is the Lord's hands, neither shall anybody be able to take you out of my Lord, my father's hands. That is John 10. So when you are going, you say, but what if this happens? You say, shut up. Who are you? How dare you talk in place of my Lord? That's how you behave. It's not, I'm going to be careful. Careful what? Your carefulness is not respected by the person behind you who is driving. Don't you know that? How can you guard and make sure that nothing happens to whatever you work with, like your license? That is why any worry, you must silence it. This is every voice that rises to contend with that which I have purchased for you. You must silence it. You must judge it and put it where it belongs. Otherwise, if you let that thought progress, it is like the fly which has come. It has landed on poop and has come. It's coming to land on your mouth. And as it is there, you are making no effort.
Hey.
It is going to defecate more.
Gosh.
That is what every thought that has not come from God is like. By the way, that thought that comes to you, it makes sense. So it makes sense. Because God, the devil will not bring anything that does not make sense to you. Well, where were we? Whoever shall not perish. Your kidney will work.
Amen.
That's what it means to not perish. Means that the reason, the purpose for which God brought you here, your body must function to allow you, the spirit, to accomplish that purpose.
Amen.
That was your days to be cut short. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yes.
Your kidney has to work. Your liver has to work. How can you keep your liver? Tell me, what can you do to keep your liver? What can you do to keep your lungs? COVID came. Many people who live in America have access to medications, name it. Every kind of, say you are diabetic, we know that. But you have access to every other medication that the world, the best of medical treatment that the world can offer. But 40-something% of people who died in the COVID were found out that they were all diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they form only a very small fraction of the entire populace. What I'm trying to say is that there is nothing. Living in America and having access to the best of medical whatever is no guarantee that you will live. For even your child to grow up and marry and have family and then you become a grandfather. No, that's not a guarantee. Nothing.
It's true.
So it is better you lift up your hands. And the one whom you call Lord, you let him really take over. Prepare the way for him. Every day is what is this something you must do every day. It's not like I gave my life to Jesus Christ 10 years ago. So I'm born again. So I'm going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Listen to me. It doesn't happen like that. So you must live every day as if you are living in heaven. Then when you die, you go to heaven.
Amen.
You cannot say that, because I'm born again, I can live my life anyhow. No, 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 no. There is a competition. There is a life. That life, what is called the life of darkness, is in your flesh. It is competing with the light, the life which has entered into your spirit. It is competing, and one will rule. If the Lord does not rule, if the life of the king which is in you does not rule, the life of darkness which is still in your flesh will rule. So when you see any of the curses happening in your life, just know what is ruling. Just know what is ruling. Because that he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, why do you need life when you go to heaven? The place is full of life. I mean, there's no darkness. There's no darkness. So where you need the life is here, where you are surrounded 24/7 by darkness, by evil, by wickedness. Wicked spirits and entities are all around you, trying to destroy you and your family and your household, trying to crush you. So where you need the light is here. Where you need the light is here. Because where you are going, where your father is, the streets are, there's no darkness. Is it true or not true? Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Verse 15. Let's read the two additional verses and then. So. John 3:15. I think that's what we got to. It's not coming? Okay, let me just read from, because I wanted us to read all of us to read it together. John 3:15. What is happening?
It's on.
Okay. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish
but have eternal life,
have everlasting life. What it means that you will, eternal life is not living forever. No. Eternal life is the life of God. You either have the life of God or you perish. Anyone who does not have the life perishes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Meaning, nothing can take you out until the Father says, come home, my son, my daughter. You can't perish. The enemy can take you out at his time. That he has organized and arranged for you to be taken out. No. The Father must say, come. Say, what about John? John the Baptist. It's the Father. The Father is the one who permitted it. Because when the angels were told that he must die this way, they couldn't receive it. Because of all men born of women, they couldn't find one who was like him. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Father had ordained. See, that is why you shouldn't try to explain. Oh, that if he died this way, then he's not born again. Please shut up. Don't use your opinion, please. This is not determined by any man. It is God alone, the Father alone. He is our life. He alone determines who is going, who is his child. By the way, listen to me. Every human being is an idea of God. It's the purpose and the plan of God, but not every human being is a child of God. No. You become only a child of God when you receive, as many as received him. To them gave you the right, the power to become sons. So you're not a son. You're not a child of God. You say, oh, we were all created by God, and so we are all children of God. Listen, that is his purpose, that is his intention, but he doesn't have that right until you give him that right by receiving his son. That's why everybody must be born again. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody must be born again. Anyway, let's go straight to it. Verse 16. What does it say? For God so loved the world
that he gave
his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life, have the life of God. For God so loved. So the God's love is for everybody. Why does it make his sun to shine and to warm up and to do great things for everybody who is not, even including those who are not? It's because it's only his love. It's only his love that causes our stubborn hearts to finally bow to his life, to his offer of life. Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's only his love that breaks the stubbornness, the hardness of our heart. That is why you say, no. Let the sun get to him. Let the rain get to him. No. He shouldn't die now. I know the enemy wants to finish him, but I'm still giving him opportunity, a chance. I'm still giving him a chance because I love him. He doesn't, he's so hard-hearted. He's so stubborn, but I'm still giving him chance. That is why punishment from God, I mean, not punishment, but judgment is not swiftly executed. It's so that perchance a person will finally say, I see it. I get it. I surrender. I yield. I receive. I embrace. No more hardness of my heart. No more opinions of mine. No more decisions and goals of mine to make myself become something, to fight for my rights and to do. No. Lay that aside. There is a God. There is a King. His name is Jesus. He came for you. And the moment you receive him, it's as if you have never lived in darkness. It's as if you have never done anything. It's as if you have never committed any abortion. It's as if you have never broken somebody's heart or somebody's marriage. It's as if you have never done it. It's as if you have never served the devil or been involved in occult. His love does not make sense. That somebody could be involved in the occult for many years. Then one day, suddenly, he encountered the Christ. That is how come Paul was permitted to persecute the church. When it was a baby church. Persecuted until Jesus met him. Says, can you kick against the pricks? Can you kick against that which will finish you? Who are you, Lord? What? I thought I was serving God. No! You are fighting me. You have been fighting me for all these times. But today, salvation has come.
Amen.
You see, for many of the Christians at that time, they couldn't understand why God would allow one man to visit such wickedness on the church. They couldn't understand it. That Stephen had to be stoned. They couldn't understand that this guy called Saul, who became Paul, could organize for Stephen a devout, spirit-filled, knowledgeable, because his knowledge was at the level, he was as educated as Paul. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's why he was a main target. Was the main target. Peter Dems were fishermen. They didn't know anything about, you know, so many things.
Bukum boys.
yeah. But not Stephen. No. 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 So he had to organize and get him out. And Jesus did not stop it. Jesus did not stop it. See, that is why to walk with God, you must give up on what you think is right. You must give up. Listen to me. Everything is so wrong about us that... can I say these things? You see, everything is so terribly wrong with you and me, as every human being. So much so that
there was nothing that could be done to fix us except to end us. It's like your car is so messed up, it's salvaged. I mean, I said salvaged. It's totaled.
Mm-hmm.
It's total. Nothing can be collected. Nothing can be done. Nothing. No modification, no alteration. Nothing. It has to be. Because the issue is with the nature. It's not one or two things that we do. And even listen to me. The church, yes, must stand against homosexuality and abortion. And now listen to me. They are such gross perversion. Gross. But the church is still, by fighting these only, is still applying band-aid to a mortal wound. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because listen to me. The law against abortion, listen to me, it is just prohibitive, which is what, this is all that the government can have, that says that no, we will not endorse this thing. That's all the government can do, because it is like, if you do this, we will let you suffer this. So it is prohibitive, but it doesn't mean that the person doesn't want to do it. No, it doesn't mean that. Yeah. It's only the church that is able to let Christ be revealed, that a person says, no, I can't do this. No, I will never do it. I don't need you. I don't need you to give me a law. I know the one who is life, and his love has filled my heart, and I can't do this. That's all. The person's heart and nature is changed, then he can't do it.
Mm.
Homosexuality is the same thing. You say, we will not, and we don't do this now. This is what the government must do, but that's all he has. He doesn't have anything. So the government has a gun, has a sword. He says, it has all this punishment. It is just to push back the forces of darkness until the church does its job. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not, they cannot change anybody's heart. Oh, me when I'm driving, and I'm in a hurry. I see the speed limit that says 45 or 50 or something. Then I go 60, 70. Then I realize that, look, there could be a policeman. I've not seen a policeman here too. Just the knowledge that there could be a policeman lurking. Then I slow down. It's not because I want to slow down. Listen, I'm a pastor. I mean, I'm supposed to love the law, but listen, that law does not affect me. It has not entered me. It's not, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I slow down, not because I want to. The fear of the consequences is what made me slow down, but by so doing, I prevent accidents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the law does. That is why God, when God says pray for your government and pray for all those things, pray that they enact righteous laws that will just push back until God has a chance to turn the hearts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's all it does. Because the thing is that it's the nature issue. It's a nature issue. So let's go down. Yeah. It's a nature issue. Our nature must be changed. When your nature is changed, you find out that, oh no, I can't do this. No, I can't say that. No. He said, but nobody's here. Let's do it. Just do it. He said, what? I should do what? He said, but your daddy is not here. Your mother is not here. Your pastor is not here. Your nobody's here. It's just you and I. He said, what do you mean? Do you know that I have a Lord? He's here. Hey. You're actually born again. Because you have respect for this life. Because you can choose not to. And every day you are choosing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Every day you are choosing. So we learned some 10 things that are not the same as being born again. Do you guys remember?
Yeah.
Like what? Admiring miracles. Admiring miracles. The fact that you admire miracles does not mean that you're born again. Mm-hmm. You're always watching miracles, and it does not mean, because you'll find out you find out that you watch the miracles, you are so enamored, overcome by the power of God. You step out. Your behavior is not restrained by anything. Mm-hmm. But that which you desire to do is what you do. It's as if God does not matter. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes.
Uh-huh. So you speak anyhow. Because you don't have a Lord. You are your Lord. That's why it says that not everybody who says Lord, Lord. Mm. It's not everybody who says Lord, Lord. You say I'm your Lord. But every day when you live your life, you are your Lord. You are your God. You are your God. Your opinions that you form, your reasoning, you reason things out and say, this is this. It means this. Therefore, this is what I would do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own what?
Understanding.
Understanding. Everybody has an understanding. The person you married indicates your understanding. The person who you call friend indicates your understanding. The person who you are relating with, you are confiding in, indicates your understanding. How you spend your time indicates your understanding. Everybody has it. The car you bought indicates your understanding. Because some rich man will decide, I'm going to buy Toyota Camry. He's rich. He earns 6 figures plus. Somebody who has just started earning $40,000says, I'm going to buy a Cadillac. Oh. Yes, they're both cars. But what you bought is an indication of your understanding. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. But when Christ comes in, he says, do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways, all, not some. In your relation, in your career, today. So Lord, this situation, what should I do? It's not because you didn't go to school. It's not because you don't understand math and economics and all those things. It's not because you don't know that having this amount of money is good and beneficial. It's not that you don't know that having an X amount of money in the bank account will at least bring some cushioning. You know it. So Lord, what should I do? What are you doing? I thought you were learned. You should be wise. Listen. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct. If you acknowledge him, he will direct. Direct your path. You'll not perish. No, you'll not perish. Even if you make a mistake, you'll not perish. I've made mistakes. The thing that was supposed to be a mistake, I tell you, they've all turned out to be, I tell you, it's amazing. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not because I know what to do. No. That's your story. So admiring miracles is not it. Befriending men of God is not it. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Say, oh, that Reverend Jackson, Reverend Kofi Jackson is my uncle. Actually, it's my uncle. Oh, really? Doesn't mean anything. Marvel know that I say you must be born again. Yeah. Say, oh, he's my brother-in-law. Doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You must be born again. Oh, it's my father. Hey. You must be born again. Sending money to church. It's not the same as being born again. Yeah. I come from a place where there's something called harvest. Where it is actually, it's so traditional that if you are a rich man, you must go for harvest time. Harvest is when they organize, what do you call it? Fundraising. And they make you a chairman.
Yeah.
By virtue of the amount of money which you can give, not because you fear God.
No.
Yeah. You can kill. You are killing, but you can still become a harvest chair.
Amen.
Hey. Number 4, joining the church. joining a church doesn't make you born again. It doesn't make you born again. No. It doesn't make you born again. It doesn't make you born again. You must be born again. You know? Why? Why should you be born again? Because everybody came with a life. That life came from Adam. That life is cursed. That life is rejected by God. That life is ruled by devils and demons. That life is selfish. It's self-centered. It's always seeking to promote itself because that's the nature of the devil. Everybody had it. We all came with it. You did nothing to have it. It passed. Sin, that nature entered. That nature passed upon all. It came with a sentence called death. So now death rules all of us. Say, what is that? What does that mean? You can never live the life of God. You can never partake of the life of God. Why? Because that life is rejected. That life is full of darkness. That life also lives by the law. It lives by the law. You say, how can that life live by the law? Ask yourself, why is that when Jesus came, he died? The Bible says that blotting out the handwriting of requirements, which is the law, he took it out of the way. Why? Because that law, it is, you know, the Bible says, it is deadly for you. It kills you. And anytime you try to live by the law, you become your God. Anytime you try to live by the law that God himself gave to man through Moses, you become a God unto yourself. Let me explain something to you. The reason why God gave the law is so that man will now find out and see for himself what is it that Adam and Eve ate. The law is the model. It's the model for that tree. Mm-hmm. When you are living by that law, you are your God. So you look at things and you judge what is good and what is evil. Whoa. And you try to do what is good. Now, you don't know that by your nature, you will only do that which God does not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the law is a sentence. It doesn't give you... See a scripture. Look at a scripture. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse, I think it's verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against, it was against the law that God himself gave, it is against you. It's funny. It's so funny that we look at the law and we look at the blessings associated with obeying them and the curses associated with disobeying them. And then we say, after being born again, that we are going to do that which brings blessing. Listen to me. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Why? It says that blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It is against you. So he had to take it out of the way. It was contrary to us. So that when you decide that I am never going to lust again, I am never going to lie again, you find yourself doing exactly that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so he took it out of the way. What did he do to it? He nailed it to what?
On the cross.
His cross, so that nobody would ever live by the law. Nobody would ever live by the law. So now, Pastor, why? How are we going to live? You're going to live by the life that Jesus raised. It is his life. It is his way. It is what he is doing. That is why every day we pray. That is why every day we read the word. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit to show us what to do each day, each time, each moment, what to think. So he had to take it out of the way. You either live by the law or you live by grace. The opposite of the law is grace. When you live by the law, you live by your flesh. Because the law was made for the man of flesh, the man who was cursed to live only by natural means. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You live by what makes sense. You live by what is possible. You live by what you can do. So I can only get you get to enjoy only what you're able to do. But the law of grace says that it is what Jesus has done. How do you love? Oh, his life in me is what enables me to love. So how are you going to stop the fornication? Oh, I'm not going to try to do it. I'm going to yield myself in surrender to the one who is my life. He supplies the power, the strength, not to fornicate again, to overlook a fault. I'm not going to try to do it. I'm not going to try to do it. And by the way, he forgives me all my sins. He forgives everybody else his sins. So when I look at another, I don't try to hold anything against him, because the one who is my life, my Lord, he is not holding anything against anybody. And so you find out that everything changes. You say, but he did this evil. It doesn't matter. Whatever he did cannot destroy the life that is inside me. It is the life of Jesus himself. What can you do to stop that life? Tell me. Who can kill that life? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. You cannot. Because as Christians, we are trying. And then we say it's difficult. Oh, of course. It's impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible to live your life and expect to make it. Just easy to embrace him. Say, it's not what I think. It's not what I want. It's not what I'm going to do. It's just life in me. How are you going to overcome it? I'm not going to try to do it. So when you eat the bread, it says, do it in remembrance of me. When you drink the blood, do it in remembrance of me. Why? Say, as often as. Anyway, join the church and continuing to live your life. Yeah, you must be born again. Playing a role in the church. Do you have any idea how many choristers are not born again?
Well.
How many choristers are not born again? Meaning that they have not fully surrendered their life to Jesus and embraced the life that God raised in the resurrection. Because that life is not your life. I said that life is not your life. It is the life of the Son. And that life is what is inside you. So why do I respect you? Why do I want to love you? Why do I want to always forgive you? It is because the life you are living, you have, is not your life. So if I hate you, I'm not hating you. I'm hating the one who is my life. That's why Jesus said, how can you kick against the pricks? How can you destroy that which is your life? You're going to get hurt. You think you are kicking against something? You are killing yourself. You are hurting yourself. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Playing a role in the church is not the same as being born again. Praying every day. Yeah. Yeah. Praying every day. Yeah. Bishop said that when he was growing up, at one point in time, I think he was a teenager, he went to see the priest. What can I do? What can I do? How can I go to heaven? You know what he said? He says, my son, pray Hail Mary 3 times a day. And our Father once a day, and you go to heaven. He also took it to heart. He did it every day. Pray Hail Mary 3 times. Our Father, every day he was doing it until he got to know that my God, That is when he became born again, because he honestly wanted to know how to go to heaven. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Father Bob lied to him.
Yeah, number seven, reading the Bible does not mean that you are born again. It does not make you born again. Yeah, because people quote scriptures. Oh, mm-hmm. People quote scriptures. I tell you, politicians quote scriptures. They use it against another person.
Yes.
Scripture is never supposed to. It's never meant to be used against any human being. Never. Never. But does the Bible say that this is... No. That's not how you talk. You are speaking from your flesh. You are speaking from your mind. You are speaking from your will. You are speaking from your dark mind. Because when you are speaking from the Holy Spirit, he says, look what he has done. Look what the Son has done. Look what our words that come from our hearts now has the power to change things. Oh, look whom he has made pregnant. Look who she's going out with. Look. No. Don't talk like that. That's why Jesus came, to save us from this very thing. Have you become a devil's advocate? That instead of proclaiming what he did, he came to do, and calling forth that power to be manifest, so the light will now enter, that he or she also may see and come. You are adding your voice to what he has done or what he's doing. Don't become the devil's advocate. Being baptized. I don't know about you, but most of us were baptized when we were probably 8 days old and, you know, that kind of thing. I was baptized when I was a baby. I didn't even know what it was, because the Bible says that he that believeth and is baptized. So you have to believe before you're baptized. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So look at me. Baptized when I was a baby. What do I know?
Mm-hmm.
And what is there for me to believe? And what can I believe? And what does belief even mean? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you were baptized when you were a baby? Yeah. Yeah. If you come from a Christian home, it's likely that you were baptized when you're a baby. But you see, one of the reasons why they had all these things is because, I you know, it's like they came to the place where they realized that, look at the mayor. The mayor now believes, how are we going to baptize him? Look at a man of renown like the mayor or the governor. You're going to, somebody's going to stand there and push him in the water and then rise up and push him in the water and rest. He said, listen, you're going to baptize when you're a baby. Then when you grow up, you will come and confirm your faith. See, it's man's idea. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's man's idea to preserve your respectability. Anyway, you know, can Eric organize for us to find a place we're all going to enjoy baptism before the summer is out? Let's organize and find a place. We will go have a picnic, eat everything, and then. Yeah, let's organize it. Okay. Why not? We believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Number nine, being confirmed. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you are confirmed. It's like you have bought a ticket and that you have been confirmed that you are flying. You have gotten a visa and you have been confirmed that you will enter that place. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. Number 10, taking Holy Communion. No. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Holy Communion is actually reserved for those who are born again. Those who have come to know that Jesus Christ came to die to save them from the darkness in their life. And they have received him. And they now call him Lord. He says, now come and take communion. And take it often. Take it very often. And anytime you attain communion, you do it in remembrance of he who died and rose again and has become your life. He who paid for everything that was against you. He who has released you from every judgment. He who has released you from every curse. He who has, I tell you, you enter into rights and privileges only because of him and what he has done. That's why nobody can boast. Because the thing that he did for me is what he did for Enoch, what he did for Eric, what he did for Ophelia, what he did for all of us. And so it's the same thing, though. The same price had to be paid for all of us. And all of us now enter into the same privileges called sons, heirs of God, and co-heirs with the Father. So if I am boasting, the thing that I am and I have, you have and you are, what am I boasting about? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And somebody says, oh, I have this gift, so I'm more called it. Gift. It's like you have three children. You make a will. You give this property to this person, this child. Give that property to this child. Give that property to this child. And then you add all the other things. Then this child rises up and says, no, my property has water behind it, so I'm more, that loves me more than you. you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My property has a water body behind it. And when I sit over there, I can see water. You see dry land. It's because that is thoughts and opinion about me was higher than you. See how stupid. When daddy was buying it, he was buying it so that you could go and enjoy vacation. But see, as he's dying, all he has is three houses. He must share it, right?
Yeah.
He bought this house because of where he was working. He bought that house because he wanted to be able to. He goes there often. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then he bought this other house because he just liked his friend. All his friends have moved there. Now it becomes a property and you are using that to gauge his love for you. Okay. Over and above the other children's love. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is why when he gives gifts, it says that it's for the benefit of his body, not for you. Because you don't understand this, you'll find somebody who has the gift of prophetism using it to serve his purpose and his interest. That everybody must come and bow. Everyone must come and receive from him. When you find a true prophet, he wants to help you to see. He wants to help you to hear. He wants to help you so that you would never have need of him. That's a true prophet. Mm. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Why? Because it is for the building up of the body so that we become mature in him. Mm-hmm. So that we are no longer tossed to and fro. Because of what he's enjoying, he's not tossed to and fro. So his goal is to get you to also enter into those things where now you also are not tossed to and fro because he will die. And when he dies, he will find out that God's children are still living. Are you with me?
Yes.
Anyway, let's go on. Playing a role in the church does not make you. Oh, where are we? Yeah, reading the Bible, being baptized.
Is what we just did.
Yeah, what is it?
Taking
Holy Communion. Oh, okay. Being in a Christian family. Being in a Christian family does not guarantee, make you born again. It does not. You must be born again. I tell you, some people, because they grew up in a Christian family, can sing so many hymns. They know the words. It doesn't mean anything to them. Yeah. Yeah. That is why it is so, especially for people in a certain age group, like those who are 60 plus. Well, even 60 is so close. The 70s. You find that because they grew up in Christian homes, they know that they have somehow think that they are born again. Because they went to church, they sang hymns. They know that church Sunday you must go to church. And so when you come and tell them you must be born again, they say, what do you mean? Look at my life. I don't smoke. I am faithful to my wife. I don't do anything. What do you mean by born again? I mean, what is that? I'm a Christian. Sir, you must be born again. You must be born again. Mean that you must come to the end of yourself and crown him as Lord.
so that it's no longer what you want and what you think that matters. It is him. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That is how come you become. You receive his life. And when you receive it, you become so conscious of it. You live by that life. Using Christian jargons. Hey! Listen. some of the people who were so profane when I was on campus, I tell you, they can use holy, holy, glory, glory. When they come to your wedding, they'll say glory, glory, glory. They don't believe in anything. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They use Christian jargons. They know what to say when you say hallelujah. They know what to say.
Crazy. See,
denominationalism, belonging to a denomination. You know, especially like the big denomination, the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian. See, these are big churches. Belonging to it does not make you born again. No. It's he who has received the Lord and crowned him. You have received Jesus as your Savior and you have crowned him that he is the Lord. Why can't you speak your mind? Oh, I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that right. Why? Oh, because I have a master. I can only speak what he is speaking. Why don't you leave this foolish man? Why don't you leave this foolish man? Say, no. Have you forgotten? Whatsoever God has put together, let no man put asunder. Look, I have respect for him. He's my Lord. He will keep me. He will preserve me. He will guard and guide my ways. He will deliver me from the hand of the enemy, from the snare of the fowler. If I step out, the snake will bite me because I've stepped out of the place of coverage and rest. If you understand this, divorce in Christianity, because Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered him or them from every one of them. So the fact that you are married does not mean that there will be no chaos. You'll encounter it, but because your trust is in your deliverer, the master, the savior, the light, the life, salvation comes. How? I don't know. I'm not the master. He's the master. He's in charge. He knows how. He knows what he will do. Philip said, how can a small boy's lunch feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children? Mm-hmm. But he asked them the question, knowing exactly what he will do. So how are you going to be preserved in this marriage? Your master knows. Do you submit to him or you submit to yourself? Uh-huh. If you submit to yourself, then wisdom, your opinion will tell you, walk out and suck him out and suck it out and cut him off and cut it off. You're your master. We shall see. The enemy will have you. You will perish. I'm telling you, you will perish until you return back to the Lord and say, I surrender. I don't know what to do anymore. That's how it is. Afflictions, they will come. Disagreements, they will come. You're going to live? Where? Are you your God? Oh, now you have your own mind. You have an opinion. Of course, God respects your opinion because the freedom to choose is so paramount to him. So paramount to him. But if you turn, it's as if you never went away. That is God. As if you turn, it's as if you never went away. That's how he is. Why? Because he knows that the powers that are against you, they are arranged against you. They are out to kill you, to destroy you, take you out. He knows it. He understands it. You are under pressure. Always. And he knows. He knows it. He's just waiting for you to let him in. He said, abide in me. Abide in me. Draw near. No. You have to do it. Because I can turn everything around. But I have to be let in. And when I'm let in, I do things my way. And by so doing, your mind gets renewed. Being a moralist. being a moralist. Yeah, being a moralist. You know, some people have these guiding principles. Oh, I will never do this. Oh, as for me, I believe in this. He's not born again. He's not born again. But he will never, like a doctor, say, I will never commit an abortion. No. He's not born again. But that thing there, no. He says, I'll never do it again. So it's like, his guiding principle. I will never go behind my wife or go behind my husband. That's the guiding. It doesn't mean that you're born again. Do you get it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Like somebody said that, says, I have been married for 17 years, but I've never been unfaithful to my wife. I have been up and down. People have put pressure on me because I married somebody from another country. He went on to say, even though my wife cannot have a child, I will not be unfaithful to her. See, I mean, you don't easily find such moralists, even in church. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you're born again. You're a moralist. You have a guiding principle. And then number 15, being principled. No. I'm a good person. I don't cheat anybody. I don't lie. I don't smoke. You know, it's amazing how we judge. You see, that's living by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, that life, I've rejected it. There is nothing that can be done to it. So I sent my son to bring it to an end. And in the resurrection, I raised up my life. And that life is what you must receive to enter into and to have communion with me and to have my life, to have eternal life. That's God. He made you. You didn't make him. Mm-hmm. This is his way. Look, Cain went and worked very hard. He toiled and brought forth produce. And he brought the produce to God. I mean, how much zeal? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How much zeal? But what he did not understand is that he worked on a land, an earth that is cursed. It is cursed. It will only bear fruit from the labor of man. And when you bring the produce from that cursed life and cursed land, God says, I can't. I've rejected that life and everything that comes from that life. But Abel, he learned from the father that this is what God did. He killed an animal. He says, listen, I may not understand it fully, but if that is what he did when you guys ate or disobeyed, then if I want to come and worship him, I must bring exactly the thing that he took and killed. He didn't kill a plant. The same thing, the blood. It was a testimony. It's a prophecy of the means and the only way by which God will bring redemption to humanity. The life of his son shall be shed to allow man to now enter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was a prophetic statement, and God had respect for it. Cain turned because the evil nature is so murderous. That evil that says, I know what to do and I'm going to do it.
Mm.
I know what is good and what is evil. That nature is so evil, it is there. And when it is pushed, it comes out. And when it came out, he killed his brother. Because the murderous and evil nature in everybody who lives by what he can do for God and boast in that. Listen to me. It goes against, it pursues everybody who lives by grace. Who lives by what God has done through his son. Who says it is Christ. And it's what he has done. And I boast in him alone. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can just to offer me. This life, which is Cain's life, or the seed of Cain, it pursues. It's always seeking to destroy the life that lives by grace. That is why there's such contention even in the church. to never stop until Christ reveals the truth of the cross to us all, and he's doing it.
Amen.
Yeah. Being respectable. Being respectable. Mr. Mayor, you must be born again. Mr. President, you must be born again. Number 17, being popular. Being popular. I tell you. When we were in school, we had some popular people. We had some popular guys, I tell you. I remember one guy so short. The height. He always wanted to be seen, be known. He became popular, so his name. I tell you, I can remember him. This was not in secondary school. This is in university. He was in Katanga University Hall. I mean, a short guy. Anyway, I mean, I'm short, but he was shorter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number 18, obeying a set of rules. You see, like Wesley girls, they have a motto. It says, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king. It's a very nice saying. You get it? It's a very nice saying. But you must be born again. You can't say that I'm going to live by this principle. No. You must be born again, because what do you call right? What do you call wrong anyway? How can God allow John Baptist to be killed at that time? Would you call it right?
No.
Uh-huh. So we don't know what is right and what is wrong. We don't know. We can't know. Except what Jesus is saying and has done. So if he says, I died for these people, you say, I can't have anything against them. I can't say anything against them. That is how come at the time when Paul was writing, pray for your leaders and pray for those who are in governmental positions and all that. Listen, Nero was organizing for Christians to be killed by lions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You are writing, we should pray for those who are in authority, for kings and all these governmental people and all that. But this is a guy who was organizing, collecting Christians, putting them in a field, an arena, like a stadium, for lions to come and chew them.
Oh.
Why should I pray for such a person? Am I not going to cause that evil to wax stronger?
Yeah.
Ah, that's my wisdom, that's your wisdom, that is our wisdom. So when you say right, what is wrong? How do you do that? What is right and what is wrong? Says who? So you cannot live by all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You lift up your heart and surrender. Hallelujah.
Amen.
19, being a good spouse. Being a good spouse. Go to the hospital. You see many women, they have brought their husbands. They are being good spouses. Many husbands, they are not born again. When they die, they go to hell.
Forgive.
As soon as you die, demons and the dark angels, they will come and collect you, because you belong to them. They have right to you. Like the child, the man who was not born again, who died by a bite from a cat. What kind of fish? That fish. In that water body, died. As soon as he died, he found himself being drawn into where he belonged. And the only reason why the light showed up and collected him, which was Jesus himself, was because his mother had been praying for him. You may say it's not fair. Well, God answers prayers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. So he did not go there. He was brought back and was allowed to come and live his destiny. He didn't want to come back after tasting of heaven. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one, being rich or poor. Being rich or poor. Let me tell you something. In the spiritual realm, in the spiritual realm. Listen to me. Look at me. On my right hand is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the angelic host, Michael, Gabriel, and all that. This is the kingdom of light. On my left is the kingdom of darkness, where the devil and his demonic hordes, or the cohorts, they are all there. They don't have any respect for what money you have or don't have. They don't have any respect for your sex. They don't have any respect for where you were born, your citizenship, how you were brought up. They don't have any respect for any of these things. Not only is the demonic realm not having respect, God the Father does not have respect for how much money you have or don't have. Their respect is for only one of two things. Are you living the life of Adam? Do you have the life of Adam, or you have the life of the Son? If you have the life of the Son, you belong to the kingdom of light. If you have the life of Adam, you belong to the kingdom of darkness. The devil must have right to you. This is the only respect that they have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, so being rich or poor doesn't mean anything. Wow. Wow. So please, you must deal with everybody according to, is he born again? And if he's born again, does he have respect to the life which he has received? Does he have respect to the life which he has received? Why are you worrying? Why are you depressed? It's because you don't have respect to the life which you have received. Why are you so fearful? It's because you don't have respect to the life which you have received. Why are you always speaking like the way you speak? It's because you don't have respect to the life that you have received. But as you have received him, so walk in him. You must prove that you are born again here and now, walking, living here on earth before you die. You cannot say that I'm going to change later, or I'm going to live that life later. No. It's now or never. It's now or never. You must live it. Please. Say with me, if you mean it. Say, I choose the life.
I choose the life
of the Son of God.
Of the Son of God.
I receive the life.
I receive the light
of the Son of God.
Of the Son of God.
I receive the light that is in that life. I surrender my will and my ways to that life.
I surrender my will and my
way to that life.
I will live daily to honor that life.
I will live daily to honor that life.
The life that is mighty to save. The life that is mighty to deliver. The life that is mighty to make ways where there are no ways.
Life that is mighty to make ways where there is no way.
It's the light of hope.
The light of hope.
Of joy.
Of joy.
Of soundness of mind.
Of soundness of mind.
And the peace of God.
The peace of God.
This is my life.
This is
my life.
Purchased by blood.
Purchased by
blood.
It cost my father the blood of Jesus to buy me.
It cost
my father the blood of Jesus to buy me.
And now I have the life of God.
And now I have the life of God.
It was given to me by the Son of God.
It was given to me by the Son of God.
And I will live to honor it. And to respect it.
And to respect it.
I receive this life.
I receive
this life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Please take your body and take your wine and lift up the body. And say with me, as I eat this body,
as I eat this body,
I remember.
I remember.
I call to remembrance.
I call to remembrance.
His body which was broken.
His body.
I call to remembrance.
God, remember.
He who was wounded.
He who was
wounded. And bruised.
And bruised.
And rejected.
And rejected.
And pierced.
And pierced.
And cursed.
And cursed.
My Lord Jesus Christ.
My Lord Jesus.
Who died to save me.
Who died.
And to pay for every judgment that was against me.
And to pay for every time that was against me.
And to release me from every curse.
And to release me from every curse.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Please eat the body. Huh. Now the blood. Not the blood. Say with me, this is the blood of Jesus.
This is the blood of Jesus.
This is the blood that was poured out for me.
This is the blood that was poured out for me.
This is the blood that washed me.
This is the blood that washed me.
That forgave all my sins.
That forgave all my sins.
That keeps washing me.
That keeps washing me.
That keeps forgiving me all my sins.
That keeps forgiving me all my sins.
It is this blood.
It is this blood
that the Holy Spirit uses,
as a voice
to purge my conscience, from thinking about what I must do, to acknowledging what the Son has done. It is this blood that qualifies me. That my sins cannot be remembered by my Father.
That my sins cannot be remembered by my father.
That I am presented before my father. Holy. Unblameable. Unreprovable.
In the sight of my father.
The blood of Jesus. Please bring the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now lift up your